I just want to get some. No, let us go, please, would you? You know, I'm going to get a little bit story about you yourself, so if you can tell me, what's your birthday?
My birthday is October 8, 1908.
And where were you born?
New Fall, Alabama. You probably not have never heard of it, but it's...
No, sure haven't.
Well, it's E-U-F-A-U-L-A.
Where's that near?
And down about 80 miles south of Montgomery, right on the Montgomery Highway.
Did your father share crop?
Yes, on farm. Although when I wrote this song about my father would own me, my mother would even call my name. That was because I left home. I did leave home at 14. When I was turning to my 15, I left home.
Where'd you go then?
Well, I went to Midway, Alabama, on down Clayton. Then I got working from sawmills. And I was pretty young for that, but they hired me and I worked. Then I got on what they call a road game. There wasn't such thing as highway, pavement highway roads then, them days through the country. They cut highways, but there was dirt roads. And we cut highway all the way from Union Spring on down to Montgomery, on out to Eufaula and then Georgetown on down to through Florida.
Did you play guitar then already?
No, at that time I wasn't doing much playing. I was, I started playing after I got married. Well, I monkeyed around with it a little bit. And then being away from home, I come to see getting lonesome and I'd be laying down in the bed, sitting around to myself, and I was used to us four brothers being together. And then I parted from them and I started getting pretty lonesome and homesick. And I started hearing songs, and like seeing somebody play them. And then I got went and I was, well, I had been out in East Winland looking for a job. And I run across a fella, I came by his house. He was making some ironing buckets. I don't know whether you know what those is or not. You take a water bucket, a pail or what you call it, or a tub, and you fill it half full of cement. Plus you put some ashes or some dirt at the bottom, pile your cement on top, cut your a slot on the side for the air to come, and then you put your some pegs in the cement where it's wet. And then just for it, when it's set up and for it get too dry, you pull the pigs out. You take your spade and little shovel and pull the ashes out of them. You got your ironing bucket. People used to iron. When ironing bucket wasn't no such thing down there. I hadn't heard talk electric iron. You iron, my mother, my sister could iron straight bed and this one I got on here. And that's where I made all the buckets. Then, that was Charlie Grant. He was the first man I ever saw. I had never heard talk to nobody making ironing buckets, and that was in Columbus, Georgia. I done left Alabama then. I came to Columbus, Georgia, and I saw him making that ironing bucket, and then I went to see what he was doing. He had a guitar sitting up there beside his porch. And I asked him, could he play it? And them days, the money was money then. You had a dollar, you was half rich. I had about 50 cents in my pocket, and I asked him, could he play it? And he told me, yeah, and I told him I'd give you a quarter to play. So, oh, yes, yeah, I play. And he got to playing this piece about so cold up north until the birds can't hardly sing. Then he was playing for a dance over in Alabama then, you know,
Chattanooga. What was his fellow's name again?
Charlie Grant.
How old do you think you were when you...
Well, at that time I was about 18, somewhere around 18.
And you were just traveling all by yourself? Your brother stayed home?
My brother did was home. And I went off by myself. And then I got down Midway, Alabama. I left there and went to Clayton and got with the road, then making $2 a day then. Never. I thought then I was a rich man because I had been working for 30 cents an hour, two meals, and 50 cents a day was from sun to sun. It'd be dark when you go to work, and it'd be dark when you come from work. And so the hours, I don't know, it was 12, 14 hours a day. And I would go with him over in Alabama, just with across the river, right down side the river, and that was Alabama, you know, Chattanooga River. On one side, half is Georgia, and on the other side is Alabama. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was the prettiest girl I ever seen in my life. And Charlie got to playing that piece about it's so cold up north until the birds can't hardly sing. And that girl, Hubman, had just left from where she said and went over with another girl, come up north somewhere. I don't know now where it's from, Chicago, or where, but I know it's just, then she started screaming. And I was struck over that. That worried me all the way home. I didn't say nothing to Charlie. I said, well, Lord, if you let me live to see tomorrow, I'm going to get me a guitar. And that's how I had my start. Then I went to Miss Patterson Pawn Shop. 1300 Broadway, Columbus, Georgia, and he had a pawn shop, and I bought me a guitar. Was the name was Value, and that was the name of the guitar with Pearl and Ivy all around it. And then about a week I was playing pretty good. Then I could hear that song about the water piping busted, the water running cold. I just want some sweet mama to come and give me jelly roll. You know, it grieving me. And when I packed my suitcase and when I walked all the way back to Tennessee. And then that's the first piece I learned. Mm-hmm. And so I never have forgot it.
Did she like it too? Did you?
I didn't, I never did see her anymore. I don't know where she left and went. Charlie, he wouldn't take me back over there because he could tell that looked like I was kind of had an eye on her, but I couldn't send us to her after him. And of course, he wasn't my friend. That's the first time I had met him, but and he was married, and I thought that the girl was singing, and I was singing, that I should have been pulling at her, but I had been dreaming about this. My wife, which you saw here today, and somebody had done told me in my dream that that this girl is living at 2008 Fourth Avenue, and you go there, and that's going to be your wife. And I got up during the night. I was living in with my sister, Mahala Lemon, in Columbus, Georgia, 321 21st Street. And so I could see her all night. And so that morning, I wrote the number down, and I went and looked for her, and there she was.
That was your present wife?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right, she'll tell you.
And you found
and then I told her, I said, you're going to be my wife. She had a sister, and she was about three or four girls, Josie and Marie, all of them was there. And about, it was just like that picture there. I looked the crowd over. I went and knocked on the door, and I was a strange boy there. So Joseph said, Miss Pearl, says, you're the boy here. She said, who are you? She's back in the kitchen cooking. That's my wife's sister. Mm-hmm. And the other girls was up there playing music. She said, I don't know. And I said, but tell her to come here. She, Miss Pearl and my sister-in-law, she came to the door and had a mill door, and I was in the front room, then into the second room on back, the kitchen way on the back. And she came in, she said, who you want to see? I said, do you have a sister? She said, yeah. I said, you live here? Yeah. I said, all y'all live here? She said, no, just my sister and I and my husband. I said, your sister married? She said, no. I said, well, I'm your brother-in-law. She said, what you mean? Is this boy crazy or what? What are you talking? She said, well, you know my sister? I said, no. So, well, what is you talking about? I said, I'm going to be your brother-in-law if you got a sister. And she stay here. I said, I see that in my sleep. Then I come to this driving, and you know my wife is big limbed. And I come to this driving and telling her color. She said, oh, you done seen my sister. You can't tell me. And at the time, my wife was going up to her mother, living in Harris County. And so I said, well, I don't want to stay here till she comes. So I stayed, and she didn't come. And she didn't, after Sunday night, she didn't come until it came to Monday. And so right back Monday, I was there. After I got off work, I went straight there. And well, she was working then, Columbus Mills. It's called Columbus Manufacturing Company now, but that's why they make clothes and everything. And so it was a cotton mill. I don't know whether you've ever been in one or not. That is why you make cotton and you carry it down and you bale it up and you, well, it's a big long story. It goes to the open room, card room, spinning room, and the card room, and spinning room, weave shop, and all on. So then it ends up the cloth room. Then you made the cloth. Then you got a great big long box as long as this place here, you might say, and high is up there. And that cloth, it goes in that dye and it come out hot. Then it stiff. It drew a fold over there. And one time that was my job is to cutting the yard, so many yards. If you want 100 yards, 150 yards, or want 25 yards, I cut it. And you had to be fast, and you got a, what they call a key. You snatch it out and cut the cloth and wrap it around the little rod here. Throw your key in there, and you still don't lose. But you got to be quick with these. Don't the cloth will go all kind of way and fall all out, lap all outside the box, and then the boss would get on you. So I get back to this, and then I says, I'm going to stay right here if you don't mind it till 8 o'clock and see what she comes. She said, well, you can stay. She said, well, where you live? I told her. And so finally, I looked out and I saw my wife is kind of down the hill to where they live. And I said, there come that girl I'm talking about. So, well, what is she name? I said, I don't know what's her name, but she's gonna be my wife. So when my wife come on in, she came in, she walked, and those girls would come over there. I rain every day and be with my sister-in-law. Didn't wake her up and was the supervisor of the job at the time. And so I walks in, she walks in, and she walked on back to the kitchen, and her sister, and the poet says, Odessa, says, there's a boy in there want to see you. Say, I believe he know you, said, because he can, they say he can scry you there. She said, who, that old boy sitting there? And at that time, you see the time just roll around, come right back. At that time, if you ever come to my house again, I can show you how my hair was, we wore hair just like the fellas wear now, that long.
That right?
Huh. That's right. We wore our hair real long, and I've had a bushy head of hair then, and so I called her, asked her and told her my name, and I asked her for her name. She seems like didn't want to tell me, so when I expressed what was on my mind, she said, no, says, I got a boyfriend, I don't do no double trolls. And I said, well, that's just what you think. And you have never did it, and I ain't gonna start it. So, you know, so there are plenty of girls there, that Joseph and all of them, they not married. So you can go over there and talk to them, let's go, I'm gonna speak to my boyfriend. I said, well, then I give him some ground, but I come back. So I left, because I didn't want him to come and kiss me talking. I wasn't answering any other girls. And the next evening, I read back there. So the next evening, I read back there. And so she seen that I meant business. And finally, she looked like she wasn't making no head of telling me one thing and another. So she finally told me, said, well, yes. And from then, I started taken out a little. She never was a hand or going nowhere much. I took over to my sister there and let her meet them. Then in a little while I was married.
Yeah. So, what is her name?
Odessa.
Odessa.
Yeah, O-D-E-S-S-I-E. Uh-huh. And so I went then to in Harris County with her to her mother, and then first time I met her mother and her dad, I asked her, she said, "What you talking about?" And in them days, you know, it's not like it is now. They're going to ask a whole lot of what you would say crazy question. What you want with her? What you going to do with her? Now, is you going to marry my daughter? Is to beat her up? You know? Now, I'll tell you, I'll stick you in jail and I'll do this. And the old man come. And if you bruise my gal up, I'll tell you what I'll do. You see this stick? He said, it'll be you and me and this stick. Well, you can't talk back at him then if you would. Your parents, of course, I was away from home, but he just told my dad he just got, he just caught the wagon or wasn't on a long way from a train station. He would have caught a bus or something other and come to Columbus and beat the slop out of me, what you would call it. And so I was afraid to say anything. So finally, I just kept laying with them and, so they give it to me, and we got married. Mm-hmm. And we've been married ever since, and that's been 40-some odd years ago.
And when did you finally come up here to Chicago?
I came 49.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to come up here?
Well, that's digging down a little deep. I was first running the bowling alley. I'm the honest colored up to so far ever run the bowling alley in Columbus, Georgia. Mm. And when I bought the place with nobody, no white, no colored, no, I was way off to myself. The closest person would be about a mile. I mean, I'm pretty close. So the white moved around. Yeah, and I thought we was getting along so lovely, and the man's wife looked like she liked my wife. She wasn't. They just moved. Well, they moved right on the line. They built right on the line. My line was about 150 feet or 200 feet from them, and then they moved. And I had my at the time. Then I had kids, and they had kids. They had a little girl and a boy, and we had a little girl and a boy, and they were around by the same age, and the kids got along so lovely together. And my wife and this lady, her name was Mary, Miss Mary, got along together. And so I don't know what got wrong with her husband, him and I was getting along. And one morning I got up here and killed all my chicken. Next morning he got up, I didn't kill all his. And then that started fighting. Was quite nice when he spread the news. It was 3 or 4 against me. So I had some what I call bodyguard too. I went and got mine. Then after I see what happened, I went on out the back. I came back, and then it's to end up shooting straight. And I was sorry. If I'd have been like him just now, I could have kept from it. I wouldn't have paid no mind. Well, then my wife left then and went over to her sister's estate. Then I stayed there and I hired the police to be there at night because at then it's a bunch of crosses. You know, I don't know where you know what cross is. A bunch of red pieces all around. And you burn up to just by your name. And I don't know where they put it out or they leave them. You see your name and calling and different name. Saying if I catch those little Negroes over here with my kids over the line, I'm gonna kill them. And then the next morning I burned cross too and said the same thing. And that last one day, that started by the chickens. And so he ran in and got his gun, or he already had it anyway. I know he fired first. Then I broke in the house and got my gun, and I was just lucky that tickling a time or two, and then I moved. I just give my place, weighed in, went up and 1718 8th Avenue and bought another big home, had a nice home. I got another one, Stowboy Alley. And then I had bought two lots out on Meters Hill off the Glade Road, about 2 miles from where I was living. And I got one on the express. And I had nice finances at that time, and everything paid for, and I was doing well. And so we started. I'm a great checker player. I could show you at home. I got my medal. I won from the champ here. And to tell the truth, that's what I run late this evening. I run the ball checker game.
That way you disappear too.
And the time went by faster than what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And get back to the story, I'm almost to the end. And it was a crowd of boys, which Walker Bryce and Carter Walker, all of us raised up together. They was working for this white fella. Then down in Universal, Georgia, he had a sawmill, a planer mill or something. Anyway, it was a mill, and he was always working. He'd take them on a truck. Had a long old truck. And I saw the crowd standing there, and I was working in right down from there, Egan Feeney mill, cotton mill. Mm-hmm. And I went to see what had happened. They was all playing checkers. Then to tell the truth, we all started bidding. And I would say Bryce is all his family peoples. His aunt is my aunt by marriage. My uncle is his uncle by marriage. So that's just the way we close and together. So we always just went for cousin. And I didn't want to bet him, but he just wanted to bet. And so then I broke him and give him his money back. Then this white fella, he was a great checker player. He come out and he wanted to play. Well, I know down there, no white man want to a color to beat him doing nothing. And so in that way, I didn't want to play him. So he just kept insisting. So I had won about $300 or $400, and he asked for it, just party. He didn't ask for but just $5. And I give him the $5. He thought I was going to give him. He just wanted to get some. And I gave him the $5. Then he showed me a roll of money he had. I reached about $1,000, like 20s, $100. Mm. He pulled out old big sack along about a half foot. Mm-hmm. And then he said, told me don't get smart. And he snatched that money. I snatched it back while tossing around, the wind got in the money and blowed it all around. And then he kicked me. And he first said, called my name and said, kick me, I called it back, because I felt with what I had, I didn't feel that I should take anything, because I didn't know it was going to cost me all my money and everything in my homes. I lost everything. I came here, I didn't have nothing. And so then when I told him like this, I still wasn't mad. I wasn't mad, and I was trying to get away. I didn't see no way of going without running. I didn't believe in running. Mm-hmm. I know, and I hadn't did nothing. And I just told him like this, so white folks, if you kick me on my foot, your feet will catch a cramp. You'll probably fall and never get up. By that time, he had kicked, and then I went crazy. And then I left him laying there, and I went over in Alabama. See, just across the river. Mm-hmm. Then you were certified until they took out a warrant over there. The police couldn't come over there and get you.
Mm-hmm. Did you shoot him?
He had Coca-Cola bottles stacked up there, what he had for the fellas to get. And I hit him. I didn't hit him that hard, but I don't know why. He must have been mighty tender, his head, but. And, because I didn't do him like that.
Yeah.
And,
Did he die?
No, he didn't die. It paralyzed him for a long time. He jumped up very high, and so I looked down on him, and I started to hit him again because I figured now I might was to kill now. I'm into it. And that time his grandson run out with the pistol, and he was looking when he run out, who that hit grandfather? And I couldn't take no chance with him. And he was about 4 feet from me, jumping down. I just throwed the ball. And just touched here, I hit him. Then I took off. Then I got across the river. I met George Brooks. And Lewis, what's wrong? What's wrong? I told him, take me out to meet us here. Out on the Glade Road. I noticed a white man was big shot with Mr. Cumming, and we called him Stewart, and he was very nice to colored people, and he liked me very much, so I went to him. He said, well, you stay here, you don't have to worry, nobody gonna come here yet. But I said, yeah, I'm married, how can I stay here? I can't stay here. So I got on the phone, and I called my brother here, and then he was living 3529 South Vernon, and I caught then I left for a day. Well, first I called my son and told him bring me a rifle, shotgun, pistol, all. I said, because I'm going to fight till I die, and then if I can get away, well, I will. So God was with me. I went on over in Alabama and caught the bus. Now, then that's the piece what you hear me saying about, baby, please don't go. I started to tell everybody I prayed for my wife. That's what I was playing when I left, or this piece here.
And did you call for her later to come up?
I was here a year and 10 months, 2 weeks, before I sent and got her. But I sent and got her. She made a visit once or twice. And then I sent and got her and my son and moved here.
And then you started painting up here?
I was here. I came here Sunday. I went to work Monday. Went to paint with Mr. Bradford. You don't know, but you probably know what Kirby had, Mr. Kirby drugstore on South Park and 47 in South Park on the west side of the street.
Line, yeah.
Yeah, right on the west side. That's why at the first place
I'm just about out of tape. And then, and I,